Does it count as a broadcaster jinx if I'm not the one calling the game? Because I definitely mentioned earlier that Hurston Waldrop had gone two straight games without giving up an earned run.
Technically, that does count as a broadcaster jinx, yes.
I'm sorry, Warren.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, don't say sorry to me. Say sorry to Hurston.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Hurston Waldrop has given up a run tonight. But the Braves and the Marlins are currently tied at one in the bottom of the first. But I'm sure you don't care about that, right? Because who cares about wins and losses when it comes to the Braves at this point in the season? We're going to continue our Falcons conversation as we did have cut day. The finalization of the rosters happened earlier at 4 p.m. today, so we know who is going to be on the 53-man roster, at least for the time being. Things could change, things could shift around, but at least for the time being, we know who is going to suit up for the Falcons beginning in week one against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We know who is not going to suit up for the Falcons in 2025, and that's Caleb McGarry, who we learned today is going on injured reserve for the season. His season is over, and that right tackle position is now wide open, because if you think for one second that Elijah Wilkerson has that just locked up, ain't no way. Ain't no way. The Falcons did do a little bit to address the position today by trading for Seahawks offensive tackle Michael Jarrell. They gave up a seventh-round pick for him, but that's going to be another like guy competing for the job that we hope doesn't screw this whole thing up. And so I ask you, 404-726-0929, who is the most irreplaceable Falcon in 2025? I want to hear from you. We'll go out to the phone lines and begin with, yeah, I'm not supposed to have favorite callers like you're not supposed to have favorite children, but we'll begin with Mr. Yo. Mr. Yo, who is the most irreplaceable Falcon in 2025, sir?
Michael Penix Jr. So listen, let me get this out the way real quick.
Okay.
The son of Jarrell? Are you telling me the son of Jarrell is here on Earth? Look, I'm not going to be that guy who sits here and acts like I've known you for a long time, because I've only known you for like, you know, 2 or 3 years.
Sure.
I believe our first conversation was one of Kirk Cousins getting signed, and I said we had to upgrade the right tackle position because that right tackle was going to get Kirk Cousins killed. And guess what happened? That right tackle, through no fault of his own, he tripped over Lindstrom and got Kirk Cousins killed. So now we're in a position where we're sitting here looking at everybody like, oh, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? You know what? You have to improve that position. Like, I am sitting here looking at these roster cuts, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I would have kept Simeon Barrow. I would have kept a couple other guys over Felipe freaking Franks. Are you kidding me? What are we doing? Like, there is a part of football life and being a fanatic where you sit here and you say to yourself, I paid $3,000 for these two season tickets I got to sit in the 300 section to watch Felipe Franks. Are you kidding me? Man, look, there is time. We got 2 weeks to where we can make this right. But Caleb McGarry was a problem prior to us getting our quarterback situation situated. And now he's out for a whole calendar year. And I have people on the air telling me I'm wrong to go and get somebody who can actually pass block when they play right tackle. I do not need to have a fourth freaking tight end sitting there so that the right tackle can pass block, and he's going to be out a whole year.
All right, Mr. Yo, I appreciate the phone call. Like, let's calm down. Let's get our blood pressure lowered. We don't need any trips to the emergency room anytime soon. I get it. It is certainly stressful. I'm with you. Having four tight ends on this roster starting day one, not the direction that I would have gone. However, Mr. Yo, this idea that Caleb McGarry was a complete turnstile, I feel like people have really, really, really overreacted to this, guys, because the simple fact is, His run game blocking was a huge factor in the Falcons being able to run the ball last year. And I know there were issues at times with the pass blocking, but you're acting like, a guy can't ever improve in that category. And then I would like to also point out quite obviously now, I bet week one, you would be begging for Caleb McGarry to be back on this roster.
He got $30 million and everybody said, oh, he's overpaid. Now that he's hurt, he is now singularly the most valuable player on this Falcons team.
Yes.
He was getting $30 million. Everybody was like, oh, we're overpaying this guy. The Falcons ran to the right side. I saw a percentage. It was like 53% of the time they ran to Caleb's side. And they averaged a yard and a half more per carry on the right side running the football than they did to the left side. So, obviously, there's a big difference in having Caleb playing than having Caleb not playing.
Yeah, and the thought that, you know, Caleb McGarry is the reason why Kirk Cousins got killed, like, no. The fact that Kirk Cousins ran as slow as a turtle is part of the reason why Kirk Cousins got killed, and I don't even think that injury was nearly as bad as was put out to be. And yeah, I think the dude is just not nearly as good as a lot of people expect him to be, but that's a whole another point. I want to stick with who is the most irreplaceable Falcon in 2025. Let's keep the phone lines going because I know a lot of you want to get to this. Let's go to Kareem. Kareem, who is the most irreplaceable Falcon in 2025?
What's up, Caleb? Hey, man. I know you're saying the most irreplaceable. I got to go with the rest of the line, man. We cannot afford to lose anyone else in the trenches. Right?
Yeah.
We cannot lose anyone else in the trenches. And, you know, my man, Mr. Yo, man, I love him, man. He had to lament and get some things off his chest. But, you know, hey, man, I would love to have Caleb back right now, right? You think about it. His run blocking was great. And we don't need him to hold the pass as long anymore. Because Penix, if he sees something coming, he's going to at least be able to evade, get up in the pocket, and get you positive yards and not take the sack, right? So, you know, Caleb's deficiency in the pass blocking was going to be masked with the fact that Penix can move in the pocket.
Absolutely. I appreciate the phone call, Kareem. And, yeah, I'm with you. Like, sometimes I get it, Mr. Yo. You just got to get it out. You got to get those frustrations out. And no better place to do it than on the Dopey Millennial Show. But I'm fully with you, Kareem, that this, like, you cannot have another significant injury on this line. I mean, you are essentially talking about a rookie quarterback. I know he played 3 games last year, but you are essentially talking about a rookie quarterback, and this idea that you can just throw a body in there and you're going to be fine. Like, no, it is the difference in a starting level offensive lineman and a backup level offensive lineman is just mountains apart, much less a guy that you're grabbing off the scrap pile because he's 36 years old and he's available now and you recognize his name. But there's a reason why those guys don't stick around, is because when you lose it, you lose it. Like, it happens fast for a lot of different guys. The Falcons have been insanely lucky to get as much time as they've gotten out of Jake Matthews. And, like, he's another one. You cannot have an injury to this line because replacing him was already going to be hard enough. If replacing Caleb with Storm Norton was going to be one where we were going to be talking on a weekly basis about, like, I hope they're getting a little extra practice at Flowery Branch, because this thing certainly needs to improve. And to go from missing Caleb to missing Storm Norton, and now you're literally getting a guy who only started for the Seahawks last year because they had this same problem where they were injuries that decimated them at right tackle. It's certainly a position of concern, but let's keep it going on the phone line. Excuse me, with Norris. Norris, who is the most irreplaceable Falcon in 2025?
What's up, man? I'm going to go a little off the beaten path.
Please do.
I'm going to give you two.
Okay.
And don't hate me for doing that.
But I won't.
I'll give you quick shots on why I say these two in particular. All right. Mike Hughes would be number one because if we don't shut down the other side of the field, we're going to be in the same situation with the defense that we were in last year. We're going to be chasing our tails. We're going to have corners falling down all over themselves. And honestly, if we can put that pressure on that second wide receiver or whoever he's covering in that specific play, then that gives us more time for our pass rushers to get home. Second, Younghoe Koo. If he made those field goals last year, even with the turmoil we went through, we are a playoff team. So therefore, I look at it as we are built to be able to withstand all of the defense in the NFL, despite a few teams, with our offense. And if we can get those key moments, just a field goal here or a field goal there, we're in the playoffs. So I don't see why it wouldn't be those two, if you ask me.
I appreciate the phone call, Norris. So I hear you. Like, Mike Hughes, interesting choice. I get the thought process of you've got to have that corner two position, you know, shored up to some extent. Otherwise, teams are going to be able to throw all over you. I am on the opposite end of this where – so I had four guys on my list, and since we're coming towards the end of the break, I will let you know one of them on my list because of Norris. It's A.J. Terrell. If you're without A.J. Terrell for a significant time of the season, I think Sports Radio and 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on this Tuesday evening. I feel like you guys are really taking him for granted. Not all of you, but some of you. As I threw out the question, who is the most irreplaceable Falcon in 2025? Guys, I genuinely believe it was Caleb McGarry before he went down. I feel like securing that right tackle position, I get it. There were times where the pass blocking was an issue. It's kind of been a thing for him and his career. But Oren laid out the stats with the number of times that the Falcons run to the right side. What did you say? It was 53%?
53% of the time they run to the right side.
Yeah. And now you're telling me you're going to be doing that with Elijah Wilkerson holding that position down? I don't feel great about it. I'll be honest with you. I am at the point that I know Vegas hasn't changed any odds about whether or not, you know, the win total is going to change because Caleb McGarry is not there. But, and I keep calling him Elijah Wilkerson. It's Wilkinson. That is how, I'm telling you guys, that is how insignificant I expected Elijah Wilkinson to be in 2025. And now he is potentially your starting right tackle for the Atlanta Falcons. Up until potentially they go and bring in the guy that they traded for today from the Seahawks, Michael Jarrell. Guys, they gave up a conditional 7th-round pick for Michael Jarrell. He ain't changing. He ain't changing this line. He this is not someone who we can, whoo, all right. I mean, at least we got Jarrell in there. No. This is going to be a week-by-week thing where we're going, lot of shotgun, lot of hey, head on a swivel, Penix, head on a swivel. And this whole, there is this idea that I get where we're not in the same age of guys needing their blind side to be strongly protected because they're not even looking that way. Like, I get it. Michael Penix Jr. isn't Anthony Richardson. You know, like, I don't really think we have to worry about him getting completely blown up. But the right side being a weak spot when you enter a time in which some of the best pass rushers are going to be on the Atlanta Falcons schedule, it doesn't make me feel good about how this offensive line is shored up. Like, there are still some moves that need to be made, but as I said earlier, you're not going to get a starting right tackle on the market right now, because guess where that guy is playing? Starting right tackle for his team, and his team does not want to give him up, whoever you might be thinking of. And so, look, the most irreplaceable Falcon in 2025, I think Caleb McGarry could make that list. I think Drake London could make that list because, I mean, we keep hearing about injuries to wide receivers who are being held out. And, thankfully Darnell Mooney didn't go on injured reserve. So there's this idea that maybe he's available for week one. But then I'm hearing things about, Ray McLeod missing practice. Oh, Kadarryl Hodge missing practice. Like, certainly Drake London finds himself in a position where if he is not available, the Falcons are in a mess. Is he the most irreplaceable? I think that's up for debate, but he certainly should be on this list. I mentioned AJ Terrell earlier because we had a caller talk about Mike Hughes shoring up the opposite side of AJ when it comes to corners. If AJ's not there, I feel a whole lot less comfortable about this team. The final one that I'll throw out there, because I wanted to get through my list. We heard a lot from you guys, and I think you had a lot of great options, especially the caller who said the entire offensive line, because, yeah, I'm with you. You cannot lose another body. And here's the problem. You're going to, because it's the NFL, because attrition is going to hit these guys. Someone's going to have their heel stepped on. Someone's going to get tangled up in a pile and miss a few weeks. And that is why starting out week one with the guy that you just paid $30 million for the next 2 years not being a part of your team and his backup being gone for 6 to 8 weeks, that changes things. That really changes things. The last one that I'll throw out there is Jesse Bates because, the ball hawk ability, the fact that quarterbacks have to think twice before they put it in his territory. The Pro Bowl caliber that he has brought ever since he's come to Atlanta. He's got 10 interceptions in the last two seasons. Yeah, that feels like a position that is irreplaceable because the guys that you're going to behind him, while I think are good, and while in a couple of years are we talking about, Xavier being on that same similar level, maybe, hopefully, but not right now. So that would be the last one. I cannot understate how big of a deal losing Caleb McGarry for the season is to this Falcons team, to the expectations that we have of this team. Because guess what? For the same people who are out there having conversations about, I can't believe, Shedeur Sanders in Cleveland wasn't given a fair shot because he was playing with all these terrible backup offensive linemen, and that changed the perception of how he's viewed. Well, guess what? Michael Penix Jr. is starting, and the view that people have of Michael Penix Jr., of Bijan Robinson, are going to be built around the offensive line's ability to block for those guys. And if it is constantly a leaky faucet at right tackle, it's a problem. It's a serious problem that I hope the Falcons are able to shore up. I hope Jarrell comes in and is the steal of the century. It feels unlikely that we are headed in that direction. All right, I wanted to get to a couple of pieces of audio. I want to start with Raheem Morris talked about, like, this day is specifically difficult for coaches and for front offices as you get to know these guys. You get close to them. They become, to some extent, friends. We get to see this behind the scenes when we get Hard Knocks, and this year it's been the Buffalo Bills. And I know KJ, I'm forgetting his last name, the wide receiver up in Buffalo that spent time in and Denver was one of those guys that they had really kind of poised as a guy of like, oh, he's just a friendly, relatable guy you're rooting for to make the roster. KJ Hamler, and he ends up getting cut. Like, this is what happens when ultimately Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris have to make some of those tough decisions. This is Raheem talking about how difficult a day like today is.
It's always tough because you know how much these guys put into it. You know, we invested in those guys like they invested in us. We give those guys everything we got just like they give us everything that they have. And we got to have the ability to go out there and make those tough decisions. But the best way to do it is brutal honesty. And the best thing to do is what's best for the Falcons. And the best thing to do is best for us winning. And those guys all understand that.
Yeah, what's brutal honesty, I appreciate. Like in any position, whether it's this job or any other job that I've had, having a boss who is able to sit down and be brutally honest with me about where I stand with the team, with the job, whatever it might be, like you always appreciate that. And I feel like that is one of those things that Terry and Raheem are maybe not always good at with the media, but hopefully are much better at when talking with players. But this was certainly a day where you get some names that you're like, huh, he made the team, and then, huh, he got cut. As I mean, number one for me really is Kentavious Street. That is just, I did not expect to see him be a name that was cut. The fact that the Falcons are keeping around five defensive linemen, and that's it? That's it on this team? You're telling me you want to rotate guys, Raheem Morris, but in the same respect, you're only keeping five guys? That makes it a whole lot more difficult to rotate guys than what you think. I think a name that he's on the reserve and PUP list, the physically unable to perform list, that I was surprised to see make the roster, Troy Anderson. I mean, it's been time and time again where you're like, look, the potential of Troy. I mean, if he's just healthy. But hey, guess what? Sometimes you have to face reality and go, he's not. And he hasn't practiced at all this offseason. So much so that he's actually in his own individual class of player who this injury is related to last year. And so you get to put him on the reserve PUP list. That just like doesn't make me feel good about a guy who this has been a consistent issue. And I get like the talent is there. The talent is there coming out of college. But if you can't stay on the field, you can't help your team. And I have no need for you. And so certainly I was surprised to see Troy Anderson make the 53-man roster. Oren, was that, I feel like you were right there on the, like, really?
Yeah, because you talk about Troy, just the potential. What was the one game we got from him last year? He was the NFC Defensive Player of the Week against the Saints.
That's right. I forgot.
He was the NFC Defensive Player of the game. Returned a touchdown in that game.
That's right.
And then that was it.
Oh, man. I mean, like, I get it. You see the talent there. It's the same thing with, I mean, seeing both Braylon Trice and Brandon Dorlus make the roster, I was like, is this because you drafted them, Terry? And you're just like, I can't cut my losses just yet. Because, like, I get it. To some extent, you got fans who say, oh, if you drafted a guy last year and you're already cutting him, especially if you drafted him in the third round, then, like, you aren't good at your job. You made a massive mistake. However, on the other side of this, you see a guy like Howie Roseman cuts his losses when he sees, okay, I have a guy that isn't living up to his potential. I saw Cole Strange, an offensive guard up there in New England. I mean, first round pick, and they said, get him out of here. He ain't making the team. That is where my concern level comes with Terry Fontenot when I'm like, and you hear Raheem, and that's why I wanted to play the sound of like how difficult a day like today is, because you get to know these guys and you have these personal relationships. You know what you also have? You have ties to them because you drafted them. And I get it. It's tough. But if the guy isn't going to make an impact on the field, you got to cut your losses. And I think that has been something that's been very difficult for Terry Fontenot in the past because, you know, there's kind of another guy on this team who we spent a whole lot of time talking about, Kyle Pitts, who's still on this team. And why is he on this team? Because he's a first-round pick. Because Terry drafted him. Because he wants to still prove himself. And now you got four tight ends? Like, what are we doing? All right. We're continuing things on the Dopey Millennial Show. Coming up 5 minutes from now, going to go out to a former member of the Dopey Millennial Show. He covers the Yellow Jackets for 24/7 Sports. Garrett Chapman going to get us ready for Friday's matchup between Tech and Colorado, as well as some other things in college football. It's all coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on this Tuesday evening. A busy day for the Atlanta Falcons, who had to trim their roster, get it down to a 53-man. I'm sure the practice squad names will start coming in, as we've already seen names who are expected practice squad options but haven't been selected just yet. I know a name that I hadn't even gotten to yet over the course of this show that I was super high on, and I knew to be careful, and I don't think that he was ultimately cut because of the issues that I was concerned about. But I certainly think that cornerback Kobe Bryant is who I'm talking about. Look, coming in as an undrafted free agent, why did he not get drafted? I think it had a lot more to do with the off-the-field stuff than it did on, where, and I don't even mean like off-the-field like in his personal life. I just mean like literally off the field of, hey, how can you handle the meeting room? How can you handle film study? You know, how can you handle having to work really hard, come from behind to get an actual opportunity in the NFL? It seemed like throughout camp that he was really studying with Jesse Bates to learn this Falcons defense. But ultimately, the injury happens in the preseason, and he just doesn't get enough shine. I think Nick Nash was along the similar lines, as he was another undrafted free agent for this Falcons roster that just ultimately doesn't show enough to stick around. But the Falcons still go with seven wide receivers. I think surprised some people, but when you know, Darnell Mooney may not be there in week one. It's certainly going to be kind of time will tell sort of a thing, because it's been a lot of smoke and mirrors leading up to that. So the Falcons need as many pass catchers as they can get. But I want to turn our attention to what I am extremely, extremely excited about. You can smell it. Week zero was nice. It was a fun little appetizer. I got to watch, now I'm blanking, Kansas State and Iowa State. That's right. Oh, no, Dave Archer's going to kill me. The Fighting Dave Archers, that was a fun little appetizer I got to watch on the plane coming home on Saturday. But week one is finally here, and I want to go out to the WadeFor.com hotline and bring in former member of the Dopey Millennial Show. He covers the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets for 24/7 Sports. He's got multiple hats. In fact, I just saw the man was podcasting about the Atlanta Falcons not long ago, but I want to start with Georgia Tech, and that is Garrett Chapman. Garrett, how you doing, man? It's been a bit of a busy day, I figure.
It's been pretty crazy. Yeah, doing all the Falcons on SI work. You can go check that out. Anybody who's interested, GJPTL, I put all that stuff out there. And then, of course, with the everything with the roster reveal and everything else. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Busy day. But it's also game week for the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. So I know it's a lot to get into. And I've got my preview that I just did with our friends over there at the Colorado Buffs site for 24/7. So We got a lot going on. It's been very busy. Crazy day, but a lot of fun.
Yeah, Friday night, 8 o'clock, Georgia Tech at Colorado. What is that, Folsom Field, I believe. You're not going to have Ralphie. Is not going to be out there. Ralphie the Buffalo, that apparently has his real name is Ember, not going to be out there for the Buffaloes. But who will be is Brentke and the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, who are favored in this game. However, just a couple of weeks ago, Garrett Brentke comes to the podium and he's like, and he's talking about, oh, my team's nowhere near ready for week one. I mean, we're just not good enough. But I want to ask you, Garrett, where has Georgia Tech gotten better in the offseason from last year?
I think the number one thing that this team needs to get better at, and maybe it's a halfway answer to your question, Caleb, but it's the fact that this team has struggled with consistency. And we've seen what they can be at their very best, right? You go out and you beat Mack Brown in North Carolina. You go beat Mario Cristobal in Miami. That was a top five team that you beat there. You beat a top 10 Florida State team that I think was still very much a legitimate contender in the ACC at the time you beat them, week zero, obviously. But I think everything kind of went off the rails for them, so that the shine of that win kind of comes off a little bit. But still, that's a top 10 win that Georgia Tech had. But that's not the question for Georgia Tech. It's what are they when you're halfway through the season and you need to pick up and stay up. You know, and they've struggled in those sorts of games. Anybody can get up when you're playing the University of Georgia. But what are you when you're playing NC State or Syracuse or programs like that? The 50-50 types of games. And those are the ones where they've really struggled. And for as good as Georgia Tech has been with Brentke, this is still a program that has yet to win three games in a row with him. You know, and that's one of those weird sort of realities for them. They've won two games in a row five times, but three games in a row, they still have not been able to put all of it together. So that's really the number one thing. And then you talked about what Brentke said is like, we're not ready to be a we're not nearly ready, right? That's just him alluding to the fact that this program struggled with consistency. And that's really what they're going to have to tackle in 2025 if they want to reach the levels that I expect them to. And I think many in the national media do as well.
Talking with Garrett Chapman, who writes for 24/7 Sports, covering Georgia Tech on the WadeFord.com hotline. Yep. Garrett, you mentioned, you know, the consistency of wow, that's crazy, not putting three wins together in a row. I mean, you look at the schedule, and obviously the week one, Colorado is certainly what we'll talk about in a bit. The having to face Clemson, but getting them at home in week three certainly feels like that's a at least some sort of optimism. And you talked about, you know, being able to get up for a game like that. Is it the rest of the ACC schedule that concerns you? Or is like, is there a game on this schedule outside of Clemson that gives you some measure of pause or concern? Because, I mean, look, the optimism around this team, I'm hearing people talk about, you know, 10 wins and things like that. And it feels like, wow, we've gotten really excited, you know, about the potential of what Georgia Tech can be.
Yeah, and ultimately, Caleb, I don't want to come off as a Debbie Downer or even negative about sure. This team. I'm very high on this team. I think they kind of are going to be somewhere at the end of the season. I think between 8 and 10 wins, I think, is where I would put this team, which would be a fantastic performance for Georgia Tech over the last 15-20 years, you know, really just the last 10 years, which is the last time they reached double digit wins, was about a decade ago, 11 years ago, I want to say 2014. But look, I think that the schedule itself actually lines up very nicely for Georgia Tech. And then you line up the schedule and like you move out, you move off of the Miamis and the Florida States and the North Carolinas and SMUs. And instead you have Wake Forest and Virginia Tech and Duke and Syracuse and NC State, Boston College. Now, those are a lot. There are a couple toss-up games in there, but Georgia Tech should be at least a pick'em or favored in just about every single game that they play this season. You know, I don't think that they're going to be large lines. Like, it's nothing like no two touchdown favorites for Georgia Tech necessarily, but they should be favored by a point or two in most of the games that they play this year, outside of that game against Clemson. And then I'm just talking about the ACC schedule, sure. So I'm not even going to get into the Bulldogs here, but. I mean, ultimately, this team is experienced. They're a senior-laden team. They've got lots of veterans. You have your leading tackler who's back. You've got your leading rusher, your leading receiver, your leading passer with Haynes King.
You have all the blueprint is there. You know, like this team should be competing to go represent the ACC in the title game. And look, your first real test is Friday, but then you get a reset no matter what happens, win or lose. You get Gardner-Webb next week. That should be an easy layup win. And then you get Clemson. And that's going to be your barometer of what success looks like potentially for Georgia Tech. If you win that game, oh, man, look out. But I'm not going to pick them to win that game necessarily. But obviously, that's a Clemson team that's one of the very best in the country. But if you can give them a run for their money, I think ultimately the sky's the limit for this team just in terms of expectations.
Garrett, you mentioned Haynes King, and I'll throw in Jamal Haynes. Like, those are a couple of names that people are aware of. They recognize the name, especially, I mean, Haynes King, given how long he's been in college football at this point. but outside of those two names that fans are going to recognize and know when the game shows up on Friday, who is a name or names that fans should be looking out for that are going to be real playmakers for Georgia Tech this upcoming season?
Well, I mean, the number one person that I would say just on the offensive side is Eric Rivers. He's an All-American from Florida International who comes in from the transfer portal. He's going to be very good. He's going to be your primary guy who's going to come in and replace Eric Singleton, who's off to go play for Auburn this year. Isaiah Canyon's another guy at the wide receiver position. He's going to be your Z. Eric Rivers will be your X. Malik is going to be your F. Kind of a flanker type of situation there. But I think your trio of wide receivers may be very, very good. Eric and Malik are a little bit undersized, but Isaiah's going to come in there and kind of give you a little bit more size there at the wide receiver position. But you finally have some depth there. You know, I mean, this is a position that, look, it's not lost on anybody who covers or follows this program that they're just still a couple of years removed from this triple option offense. But now that wide receiver position has gone from a bona fide liability before Brent Key was there to now I think it's a strength. And with Eric Singleton and Malik Rutherford, I don't know if it's going to reach that height necessarily, but you have a lot of interchangeable parts with Malik and then Eric. I think the sky can be very high with those two specifically, but Isaiah is going to be a big red zone type of presence and somebody who I think can really take a big step forward this season. But if you want to go to the defensive side, I mean, like you can look at guys, a lot of newcomers like AJ Hoffler and Akello Stone and Braden Manley. But JJ Vandenberg is really the big guy. He's on the freaks list for Bruce Feldman that he does every year. He's going to be the strongest person on any field he's on. You know, like this guy, he's built like a bull, and he's going to play that defensive tackle role for this team. And he's just a freak of nature. He came on in a big way late in the second half of last year, and he's going to be the only returning starter there on the defensive line. And he's going to be very, very good. But ultimately that defense is as good as its pass rush is going to be, very similar to what you see for the Atlanta Falcons. Braden Manley, somebody who played at a really high level at Mercer, but we'll see what he can do when he makes that transition from the FCS to FBS at Georgia Tech. But he's locked down a starting spot, so we'll see what he can do there.
Garrett, looking at the matchup on Friday, Georgia Tech taking on Colorado. Of course, Deion's going to get a ton of attention with everything. This is a transition period and a really interesting time that I think a lot of eyes are going to be on this game because you don't have Shador, you don't have Travis Hunter anymore. You've got to replace those guys. And at least at quarterback, we did learn today, although I'm not surprised in the least bit that Deion goes with Caden Salter, the transfer from Liberty, over the guy that we're all very familiar with here in Georgia, Juju Lewis out of Carrollton. Did this in any way surprise you, the way that, you know, Coach Prime ends up going with Salter? And then what kind of skill set do you think Salter brings this Buffalo's offense?
Well, Salter is – no, I'm not surprised, Caleb. I think that Caden Salter was brought in there to be the starter, and I think Juju Lewis is going to get reps. I don't think that it's going to be a lot of run necessarily, but we will see him. I fully expect to see him on Friday night. But, no, Caden Salter, I mean, he's a dual-threat guy, so he's going to be the first real dual-threat player for Colorado since Bernard Jackson in 2007. But he's going to give you a little bit more just in terms of the passing attack. But you said it's a year in transition for Colorado. I don't think that they expect it to be a year in transition, right? You're not just going to do a one-for-one replacement of Shador Sanders and for Travis Hunter, right? You're not going to find one guy, but I wonder, just this is me speaking, just I wonder if it opens up the rest of your offense now that you have, you know, some new faces that are going to come in and do some things. And sometimes it's overall better for your program when you add in some new faces like that. And look, they've been very active in the transfer portal. They've, they've added good Lord. I mean, 30 plus people in the transfer portal. Now it depends on how they mesh together. I think that kind of experience playing alongside of another guy is very important. And that learning curve is going to be very fast, right? So these guys are going to be kind of thrust into the spotlight on ESPN on Friday night against a pretty solid Georgia Tech team who's pretty consistent, you know? So I think Colorado's going to have their work cut out for them. I do think that Georgia Tech ends up getting the win because of that level of little continuity that they have on their team. I think that matters a lot in college football. But this Colorado team is still pretty darn good. And I think that they're very well within their rights to expect a 7-8-9 win team over there in Boulder.
That is Garrett Chapman. Give him a follow on social media at GChapATL. He writes for 247 Sports covering Georgia Tech. He also writes for Falcons SI covering the Falcons, as I mentioned. Did a podcast today that I saw just finished up with before he hopped on with us. So, Garrett, amongst your extremely busy day, thanks for giving us some of your time on this Tuesday night, man.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
Absolutely. On the other side of the break, coming up in about 4 minutes from now, he finally got a deal, but is it the deal that he actually wanted? We'll talk about it next. NFL News, Caleb Johnson here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.